All right. I want to extend greetings to y'all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't know if you all may not know it or not, but Jimmy passed away last night about 9 o'clock. So I don't know what arrangements are going to be made. So sometimes it's a lot of times people send flowers after something bad happens, and it's more important to be there when they're alive than when they're dead. So it's the most important thing is to be faithful, where you don't have to just apologize or send flowers or something because you didn't do something. It's more important to just do what you're supposed to do as we go, and leave the mourning for those who have failed or whatever. So sometimes it kind of works that way. But anyway, had a prayer request. James Stevens, it's a friend of Mom's, fell, and they've just requested prayer. He broke his leg. He's got to have surgery Monday. So, anyone else have anything?
Wilbur was at my brother Nolan's house for breakfast this morning.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I pray for Wilbur's and Floyd's as they travel. So. Anyone else? Anything else?
I'll pray for that sorrow and family of all guy or family for sale. Heart wrenching to see the children all weeping for their mama.
Okay. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. Just ask your blessings, Father, upon this time together. Pray for these requests, Lord, those that are sick and in need. Father, be with them. Help them look to you. Lord, we pray for Wilbur and Floyd's as they travel. God, that you watch over them. Help them to be faithful to you, Lord, as they go, Lord. Also for the family that lost the mother, Father, just ask you to comfort the children and the husband, Father, and the family members, Lord. Help them, Lord, to understand that your ways are higher than ours. Again, we thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. That is that thought there of the song. Maybe I'll look into it sometime. My ways are not your ways, or you know what I'm talking about. What's the name of that song, Kev? Thy Way, O Lord. It talks about your ways is higher than ours. Do you remember?
Thy way, not mine, O Lord. No. Thy ways,
child,
are not your ways. Thy thoughts are higher than mine.
Right, yeah. It's I always appreciated it. It was a real blessing. Do you know what it is now? It's maybe we can talk about it a little bit, but there'd be one, I think. My ways, thy child, are not your ways. Thy thoughts are higher. Anyway, it's a real blessing, just the whole thought of it. Yeah.
All the way seems so long, and so dreary road.
Yeah, that's it.
Trials are never end, something like that.
Yeah, well, praise the Lord. Yeah, that's it. I'd forgotten about it until I mentioned that phrase. All right, can everybody hear okay? It's a little noisier with the air on. Okay. All right. All right. Well, again, praise the Lord. Let's I think we're going to just Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. Does anyone have Connie's number where we can call her, get her put on the... Might tell her. Did she answer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Hello.
Sorry, I forgot to get out of my
church. Okay, very good. Okay, yes, we'll just have a sermon on my phone.
Okay, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. So finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this world, of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. What I want to focus on this morning or bring our attention to is that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. We are spiritual beings. I think a lot of times whenever the Bible talks about us, the wisdom of man versus the wisdom of God is... not that there's no wisdom in what man thinks about in this natural realm, but that there's a higher realm that is different than the natural man would think. The natural man sees situations and circumstances that's right in front of him and makes wise or foolish decisions based on the natural realm. That's where most people go. That's where most of us that's the way we think. We think in the realm that we live in. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. Like I said, there's a wisdom in this realm, just like there's foolishness in this realm. We see it all around us. Wise people and foolish people. In this natural, fleshly state. But the things of God are on a different level. We're living in a time, almost every week or two, it seems, we're astounded at things that we never would have thought we would ever see happen. Wouldn't even fathom. They just don't make any sense at all sometimes. People just doing and things happening that are just dumbfounding of how people can think the way they're thinking. And so in our natural state, our minds are shocked. It's like, this doesn't make any sense at all. And in the natural realm, it doesn't. This is a clear example of some people seeing things the way they are, and some people just doing things that are just shockingly foolish, it seems. And it's amazing how, I mean, whenever you're just trying to look at things and see how things ought to be or how things could be, and then just your mind is just shocked and see people just doing the opposite of that. But we're living in a spiritual world. As much as we are aware of the physical world, the natural world we see, this is not reality. That's where we have to remind ourselves constantly that this is not even what's real. This is just a small portion of something that we're existing in right now. What is real is the spiritual realm. We see that all through the Bible. In the Old Testament, the children of Israel were in a battle, and they were completely surrounded by thousands and thousands of their enemy. Well outnumbered, just a small band. And one of the prophet's eyes told one of his people to go out and look, and his eyes were opened. And he came back, and the report was, they that be with us far outnumber those that be against us. He was able to see the real realm of things that are going on. We have a body of flesh for just a little while. There is a whole spiritual realm out there that's existed forever and will exist time without end forever. This short span of man on an earth in a physical body is just a bleep of time. But that's where we're living. We get so focused on this little bleep, and we don't see the real picture of what's going on. It's so easy for us to get caught up in the world situations, the crises that come upon the world, the craziness that's going on around us. Our minds are shocked sometimes when we see it. But they're just following their spiritual power that's guiding them. The Spirit of God is calm and rest and peace. I think that's why the Bible condemns so greatly those that stir trouble and cause trouble. They are direct instruments of Satan and his minions, inciting people to these levels that are strange to us. How could people do this? How could people act this way? But yet, all through history, this is the way it is. We've been isolated or protected from a lot of this. But it is a part of this world. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. It is against the rulers of darkness, the spiritual wickedness in high places. People can be wronged, and it's so easy when we're wronged to be fanned into a flame, incite these ideas of I've been wronged, I've been hurt. And it's so easy for us to allow that to turn to anger and bitterness and aggression. And all it takes is someone coming along just fanning the flame just a little bit. That's how riots start. That's how mobs get started. That's how gangs get started. That's how uprisings start. And that's how war starts. We've been protected from a lot of this. We've been blessed not to have to see some of this. The way things are changing, and as quickly as things are happening around us that we never thought would happen, we could very likely find ourselves right in the middle of a war or destructions or uprisings. That's possible. Are we prepared to be able to live with it? Are we prepared to be able to be faithful through it? He cries to right wrongs or to stand up and fight for people trying to wrong us is real and present. And it's so easy when we stay in this natural mind to just justify fighting this foolishness and corruption. But our battle is not against flesh and blood. These are just minions, people carrying out Satan's orders. And even those that would seem to be fighting for what's right soon are tangled up in the war just like everybody else. I've said before, you know, whenever you're on the battlefield and there's someone right across behind a rock or behind a tree shooting at you, and you're hiding behind a tree shooting at them, the cause that you're fighting for is not there anymore. It's just you trying to kill them before they kill you. No matter how noble the cause may be, no matter how valiant it may seem, you're trying to kill someone before they kill you. You're in the same war. The teachings of Jesus teach us to rise above those things. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. You know, we've heard people say, oh, he's the salt of the earth, saying, wow, he's a good guy. Just a salt of the earth kind of guy. But this takes on such a higher level than just that. This puts a responsibility upon us. You are the salt of the earth. Oh, I'm just going to be a good person? No. You the salt of the earth. Why is that important? But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. In the Bible, we have a glaring example of this with Abraham. God had sent his angels and told Abraham that he was going to destroy Sodom, a wicked city. Everything imaginable was going on there. Violence. I can just picture it almost. We can see a small example of it in what's going on now. Nobody has any respect for anybody. Everybody's offended. Everybody's got their feelings hurt. They're wearing their feelings on their sleeve. They get angry, offended, and just fight and kill and destroy and tear up, and justifiably so in their own minds because they've been hurt. Wickedness everywhere. An ugly, ugly place. We see that in cities. The heart of these cities, that's what it is. They're ugly places. These cities were going to be destroyed. And God told Abraham about it. And Abraham begged God not to destroy the cities. He said, God, if there's 50 righteous people in there, would you not destroy it? And God said, I will not. And he said, what if there's 40? And God said, I won't. What if there's 30? I won't. What if there's 20? If there was 20 righteous men or people in this huge city, God would have preserved it. It wasn't about how wicked the city was that tipped the balance of judgment. He said, what if there's 10? And God said, I will not destroy the city. Doesn't matter how wicked the city is. As vile as human beings can be, as wretched, destructive, horrible as a human being can be, if there's 10 righteous people in there, if there's 10 grains of salt, I will not destroy it. Because those 10 preserve the earth. Those 10 people that have peace and rest and are righteous, godly men and women, preserve and they outweigh all of the wretchedness. Now we look at numbers to see, well, if they're balanced out, the weight of one righteous man outweighs thousands and thousands and thousands, maybe millions of ungodly. They that be for us outnumber those that be against us. We are the preservation. Men, you hold the preservation this world in your hands. You know, after Jesus died, there was, they said, 200 years where the world didn't even go to war. They persecuted Christians. They suffered and they hurt. But there was 200 or 300 years of the Pax Romana, is what it was called, the Roman peace. It wasn't because the Romans were so strong. It was because there was a presence of God in the world that overpowered the devils and the demons that were trying to get every man to kill themselves and to kill each other, to kill the whole world. A little bit of God, a little bit of light dispels and overpowers the darkness. You are the light of the world. The city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. The point is if we get caught up in the fray, we're not salt anymore. We're not light anymore. If we use the wisdom of our flesh, the wisdom of our humanity, the wisdom of our situation, and we follow that, we're not following the unseen hand. We're not following the one whose ways are higher than our ways. See, our ways see what's around us. But when we're trusting in the one whose ways are higher than ours, this world don't have to make sense to us for us to have peace and rest. And as we allow that to grow and happen in our lives, there's a calming influence on the rest of the world. You know, when Jesus was here, whenever he showed up to a lot of people, there was just a calming presence that was there. People could rest. It just felt comfortable. And then some places where he showed up, there was an alarming, aggressive feeling that came over people. They hated him, didn't want to be around him, because it was the light. It calmed some and repelled others. It's amazing how little natural sense does anything sometimes. I mean, sometimes we kind of think that we've got some common sense. But then sometimes that's just blown out the window with the things going around us. It just doesn't make sense until you realize it's not this. It's not what we see and feel, touch and taste. It's the realm above us that's the real one. Just want to encourage you. Finally, be strong in the Lord, in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God, so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. What will our response be if someone invades our place, our little neck of the woods, throws us out of our homes, burns, ransacks, kills, whatever? Where are we going to be? What's our response? when the mob comes down the road, breaking and destroying and tearing up everything in the place. What are our possessions worth? Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's where our battle is. Yeah, it's all right to make sense, to have wisdom in this realm, but it will fail you. It will fail you. Our greatest wisdom comes from above and is in a higher realm. May the Lord add his blessing.
Oh! Bye. by.